A confession. I don't really like challah, but I really like challah. I know you're a little bit confused. So let me share with you a verse that comes from the end of our Torah reading in this week's parsha, which may help to explain it. V'haya be'achaltem me'lechem ha'aretz tarimu truma ladanai reshit la'arisotechem chala tarimu truma. When you eat bread in the land of Israel, you should give a gift to God, and the first part of your kneadings should be given to God. And that, in the Hebrew, is the word chala. So most of us think of chala as that Ashkenazic egg bread braided, painted with a little bit of egg white, maybe coated with some seeds. And it's braided, and I'll get into that in a second, but that is what we think of as challah. But challah is actually the gift that we take out of our bread and that we give to God. Challah. I want to share a story because I don't like challah. And when we lived in Israel, I loved challah. Because there, around the corner from us, in Machane Yehuda, in the beautiful outdoor market in Israel, was a small bread shop. And on Fridays, there would be a line about 100 yards long. And you would get on that line, and you would get religious, because you would pray that there would be something left for you when you got to the front of the line. But you didn't want to get there too quickly, because inside that shop of the Bukharani bread maker was a man who had the ballet and dance of challah down to a beautiful science. This Bukharan bread looked a little bit like a turban. It had a round raised edge, and the middle was thin, maybe an eighth of an inch thick. So you could break into the puffy outside or have this crisp interior. And this was challah for the Bukharanian Jews. And we would watch him take this bread on this curved oven wall made out of old clay. And taking the dough, he would slap it on the side of this 800 degree oven. And there would be dozens, if not hundreds, of these loaves stuck there, baking. And to do this, his every movement was precise. His every movement was a truma ladonai, a gift to God, as he took his paddle, his peel, and slapped and removed and slapped and removed, putting it on the counter one after another, until we would finally get to the front and take our challah, the challah that I loved, home for Shabbat. So challah is not the bread. It is the gift. And there are fascinating rules around that. The first is that for those who make your own challah, if you have a dough of a couple of a kilo, 2.2 pounds, some say 3 pounds, there's different traditions, then you take that and you say the blessing, Lahafish challah min ha'isa, who commanded us to take challah, this gift, from the dough. Now, in the old days, you couldn't actually give that to God. So what you had to do was find a good proxy. And that proxy was in the temple, and it was the Kohen. The Kohen, after all, didn't have a nice job in finance or shepherding or farming. And the Kohen was able to serve the Jewish people because of those gifts to God, which helped provide sustenance for the priest and the priest's family. You may have noticed that the temple is long gone. And so we have this rule, and with classic Jewish ingenuity, we have to ask, what do you do with it? Well, there's a time in our history where you would still bring it to the Kohen, but because it was not within the temple precincts, the Kohen could not eat it, and so would give it to a child who, of course, was exempt and wouldn't suffer. And I don't know about you, but some kids I know like raw cookie dough, and some people like raw challah dough. Over time, though, that disappeared, and since there was no way to dispose of this holy gift, the tradition and the custom arose that we actually take challah and we destroy it. We burn it, we pour detergent on it, we do something to nullify it so that it is no longer impermissible food outside of the Temple Mount, but we keep it as a reminder that real challah is this gift that we give to God. And for me, I think there's something so beautiful about that, because it tells us that when you come into the land of Israel, the sort of country it is supposed to be is one where we demonstrate tangibly our gratitude for mere sustenance. And how often do most of us take for granted the fact that we probably, in this room, have never missed a meal unless it was our intention in some way? The Torah wants us to feel this tremendous gratitude, even for the simplest of things, and to remember what a gift it is. So the commandment for challah comes from this week's portion at the end, but in other sections of the Torah, there are other beautiful customs that explain that Ashkenazi challah, which doesn't excite me so much. Because there were 12 showbreads, which were also placed in the temple each week. And if you look at your standard Ashkenazi challah, how many braids does it have? 3. And how many challahs do people traditionally have on Shabbat? 2. So what's 3 times 2? 6. So there's a problem here. 6 is not 12 showbreads. So when else do we eat challah? Saturday morning. And we also have 2 breads times 3 braids is 6. And 6 plus 6, a math equation, equals 12. And so in that way, we are demonstrating not only the gift that is this bread, but this ancient connection to these showbreads that our ancestors placed. And I, for one, always feel grateful to be part of an ancient tradition like this that echoes through time, even when the early rules can no longer be followed. To know that we are part of a people that has ties to those who came before us, who knows that our lives are so dependent on the gifts that we receive from our parents and they from their parents and so on, back into the ancient days of the temple when our people, a nomadic desert people with little to sustain them, understood that even so, if you give a little gift of gratitude for what you have, you'll know what you have even more. May each of us, as we enter into Shabbat, find ways to offer up those gifts of gratitude so that we can indeed experience all the bounty and all the blessings that we've been given. Shabbat Shalom.